Our theme tonight is on missions, world missions, especially to parts of the world where they never have heard the gospel. We see this is the world. Is that up there? Not yet. Okay, so there it is. Oh, that's the world. Okay. Isn't that beautiful? It's for sale after. You can buy that picture. All right, so half the world, we can break it up this way, that this is the Christian part of the world, and these people live near these others that are not Christians. So here in Baltimore, we have Arabs at the university in Maryland, and we have people from other Buddhists and others, but they live in our culture. In our Christian culture. But half of the world is not living near any Christians. Half of the world doesn't have exposure. They don't know about it. Well, there may be scattered people here and there, so it's only a general picture of what we want to think about tonight in our service tonight. And the meaning is that some need to travel to go to parts of the world, because if nobody goes, they will not hear. And that's something in our hearts, something to think about and to just recognize. So that'll be our theme. We'll carry on in a minute or two. But would you pray right now, like for a few minutes, for the Lord to send laborers into the field. The verse is Matthew 9 and 36. Did I get it right? 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. This is Jesus. He was moved with compassion. Why? Because he knows that God can change somebody's life. He knows that God can cast demons out of people. Jesus knows what God can do. Jesus knows what grace does for people. Jesus knows the power of God in the lives of people. Jesus knows this. And he has compassion because they don't have it. The devil is there lying to them. By the way, in our culture, have you ever noticed how people don't believe in God, but they believe a lot in the devil? I think there's research on it. Actually, that I think there are numbers. People believe in the devil, but they don't believe in God. Does that make sense? Of course, if you are the devil, that makes sense. The devil is promoting and propagating his message, and he is a liar, and he says there is no God. But we know what Jesus says about it. Isn't that true? Okay? All right, let's read the verse. It says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Now, tonight in the Bible College chapel, our guest, Randy Smythe, he is from Ethnos 360, an organization that what used to be called New Tribes Mission. And many of us know about that ministry from years ago. And their organization has this in their hearts, to network with churches, to send laborers out to train them and send them out to parts of the world where people do not have the gospel. They don't have the scripture in their language. They don't have access to churches. Maybe they never met a pastor before. They've never seen a congregation. They don't know about grace, but they may know a lot about the devil. And we just heard about that. And there's a lot of videos and a lot of material that he has on this whole subject. And I believe that many of us in our hearts are very much caring, because this is also how we live as an organization, as a church, as a body, and we actually care about people. And as Jesus had compassion, high priority. Christ had high priority on on people. And of course, he came to save us, to die for us, to give us a new life, to change our hearts and our minds, to stop cursing and start blessing, to start believing, to repent of our sin and find righteousness and peace and joy in our lives, to call on the name of the living God, the living God. Isn't that amazing? We have the living God who answers our prayers and is a righteous, almighty, immortal, eternal, invisible God, the only wise God. Who are the other gods? They're dumb. They're foolish. The only wise God. He's the only wise God. Isn't that great? Now, let's look at it. Verse 36. They fainted, were scattered, as sheep having no shepherd. Then he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. Really, Lord? Yep, it is. It's plenteous. It's everywhere. Harvest is everywhere. In every part of the world, harvest is everywhere. Some of these dear people that work in this organization that Randy is part of, and he was a bush pilot in New Guinea for 17 years, and his family, when he was a young boy, 8 years old, packed up, sold their dream home, packed up, moved to Irian Jaya or New Guinea, and lived there with the snakes and mosquitoes and bugs and everything else, and God used them. It's a great story. What, who would make such a decision? Verse 37. Then he said unto his disciples, the harvest is plenteous, laborers are few. If you go to the airport, you say, there's a lot of travelers, but are there many laborers? There's a lot of tourists, but are there laborers? There's a lot of business people, a lot of vacationers, but are there laborers? Well, it's great to be a laborer. It is. You are laborers. You're learning that. You're learning and growing in it. And you have something in your heart from Jesus. We'll talk about it in a minute. Motivation. All right. Let's look at this for a second. Motivation. You know what a bad motivation is? What was a bad form of being motivated by what? What? The world? What? Fame? Okay, fame. Fear, money. And the one I want to write down here is guilt. What motivates you to be a missionary? Guilt, like I have something, they don't have it, so I need to go there because it's not fair, and I feel guilty about it, and I should do this out of guilt. But it's not a good motivation. And because of your new birth, you have a whole new kind of motivation that God plants in your heart. And that motivation is love. And that happens to us. It grows in us. Just by coming to the church and being around, you kind of catch it. Just by being spirit-filled, just by saying to somebody, I love you, or I forgive you, or I care about you, just to be started about caring about people, caring about other people, and it grows. You start loving. We have love that comes from God that is in our hearts. And as we walk in love, we end up actually walking in love. And we start to thinking about these people that Jesus said, pray that God would send people that love to them, and they would labor amongst them and be with them and listen to them and pray for them. Get frustrated with them, but the love endures. Have difficulties living somewhere, but being able to forgive, be kind and caring. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers. Okay? That's that. Our message will be from Song of Solomon tonight, I think. And just take a moment and say a prayer that the Lord would send laborers of love to the harvest fields that are plenteous. Oh, and we need a nursery worker. One nursery worker. Any volunteer, anybody like to do it, just go to the nursery. They need one worker. Okay. So just in your seat or with your neighbor, have a moment of prayer.
Well, thank you for the privilege of sharing tonight and for praying. To God be the glory. He is worthy of our glory. What is glory? Well, it's recognition of who God is in his character. It's recognition that he is worthy of praise and honor, and that he is worthy to be proclaimed as if he were our highest treasure. To love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is about loving our neighbors, because that's who God is. God is love. And why would we not tell them about him? That just takes all the guilt out of it. You know, it's like, I mean, God, you would allow me to be a vessel to proclaim your glory? Wow. Isn't that amazing? Ambassadors for Christ? Yeah. Now, if people don't give God glory, there's two reasons for that. One is they don't know about him. Or two, they're rebellious. They don't believe. No, God's not too happy when people call him a liar. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says that. It says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But what is this faith thing? Well, see, Hebrews 11, 1 talks about that. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, right? So there's substance and evidence to this thing. And that substance and evidence is God, his glory. If we know him, then that is what we want people to know, right? If you look in Luke chapter 11, Jesus rose again from the dead, and he appears to Mary and some of the other folks, and then these two guys are walking down the road to Emmaus, and they're going like, Jesus walks up alongside of them, and he's asking them questions like, where were you? Did you miss it? And it says, Jesus, the first thing he did in verse 25 of Luke 24, he said, Jesus said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? There's that word again. And it says, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He's revealing his glory through the word of God. And he chastised them for not knowing that. That's what we need. We need to be in God's word so we can see God's glory. And that is what we have to share with other people. You know, one third of the world, some people's numbers are messy, but anywhere from a third to half the world has no access to the Bible, no access to a Christian. Wycliffe Bible Translator says there are 1,268 languages that have not a single word of God's scripture in it. And so you couldn't share John 3:16 with them if you wanted to. Well, those are the people we're wanting to reach with the gospel, because they have no knowledge of God's glory. And God is worthy to be proclaimed among them. He is worthy of their glory. He is worthy to be proclaimed, and they need to know him. You know, the best gift you can give, one person can give to another, is the knowledge of God's glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says that the enemy tries to hide the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. And verse 6 says that the treasure we've been given is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. So how do you do that? How do you proclaim God's glory where people have no knowledge? Or you're going to have to go where they live. They're going to have to go live with them long enough to learn their language and learn their culture. If they don't trust you, they won't teach you their language. And so you're going to have to learn their language to a high level of fluency, because you not just don't just want to just tell them what God said. You want to put God's word in their hands so they can read it for themselves. You're going to have to teach them to read. So you're going to have to learn it to a high level of fluency so you can translate the abstract truths of the Bible into the language and culture that they understand best, so that God's word is not ambiguous to them and it's clear, and they can apply the truth to their lives and give glory to God because he's worthy. And so learn their language, learn their culture, translate the scriptures. And where do you start? The Bible's a big book. Well, Genesis 1:1 is a good place to start. God's glory. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who was there in the beginning? God was. In the beginning, God created. Well, what else? Who else was there? Nobody else. And he created. What did he create? The heavens and the earth. Everything I see, everything I know, God created that. You start unpacking that verse. It is just loaded. That's the foundation of the entire Bible right there in the very first verse of the Bible. And the rest of the chapter starts expounding that in case you missed it, right? So God's glory is what people are missing. And so we need to teach them who God is, starting in Genesis, laying the foundation of God's character, that he's worthy of worship. He's the creator and owner of all things. He is the one whose life we have, who is the one who has given us life, and he's worthy of our worship and our praise and our obedience. And then we go into the story of how Adam and Eve, being in a perfect garden, had the choice to believe God, and they didn't. And we've been just like them ever since, not believing God, not having faith, not giving God glory. And so the antidote to that, well, God provided a son. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God promised the seed of the woman who would come and crush the serpent's head. And then we follow that scarlet thread of redemption, showing how God had a plan the whole time to crush the head of the serpent, and giving us different verses like Micah 5:2, where Jesus was going to be born, and Emmanuel, Isaiah chapter 7, talking about God with us, wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the son of, seed of David, the seed of Abraham. And then we will, by the time we get to the first early parts of Luke, we start to realize, just like Anna and Simeon, Emmanuel, God with us, God has provided the Messiah. And when they go through the New Testament story of who Jesus is, they begin to see God's glory as Jesus walks through with his disciples. And then they realize that he was the one who has died on the cross for their sins, and that he is God who has risen again from the dead to provide for each one who will believe in him the perfect clothing in his righteousness, that they might stand in the presence of an eternal God without condemnation. What a gift to give to people. What a precious gift. And so that's what we give people. And then we're going to walk them through the Old Testament again, showing them how Christ is revealed in the Old Testament. And then we're going to get into Acts and Romans. By the time you get into Acts, they're going like, okay, well, why is everybody persecuting me? You know, why do I have to stand up in front of these people and respond? And how am I supposed to do that? What is the role of the Holy Spirit? How does the church work? You know, by the time you get through Acts, they're going like, well, I'm still sinning. Maybe, does God really love me? Well, Romans talks about knowing that you're dead to sin, reckoning it to be so, and then yielding yourselves as instruments of righteousness unto God. Romans chapter 8 says, what can separate us from the love of God? There's no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. And so by the time you get through Romans, they're going like, okay, I got that foundation, but I'm still sinning. Maybe I need to work for it. That's what Galatians is talking about. You know, what? You received a gift and now you're going to work for it? And so we're walking these people through the Word of God and to exercise faith in what God has written in his Word, to give God glory in the way that they live so that their thinking is renewed being not conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of their minds as they work through the Word of God. And ultimately, we're going to equip them as ambassadors to proclaim God's glory to the ends of the earth, to the next language group who doesn't know anything about Jesus, to come alongside of us as partners, as co-workers, to proclaim God's glory. Now, that doesn't happen all by yourself. You can't just go as a missionary and do all that by yourself. It's going to take a body of Christ sending you to be a missionary to go to the ends of the earth and proclaim God's glory. It's going to take the body of Christ to sustain you while you do all that work over 10, 15, 20 years. I met Pastor Walls tonight, and I know his brother real well, Jan Wells, Walls in Papua New Guinea. I worked as his pilot for many years, and the Lamagai people, now after many years of hard work and sweat and tears and trouble, have the whole Bible in their language. That's a praise God for that. Now they can see God's glory and proclaim the whole of God's word to other people. That's exciting to see. That's what we want to see in every tongue, tribe, people, and nation. God's glory proclaimed because he is worthy. That's what people need to know, is who God is. So it takes the body of Christ to do that. And so that's what the missionary doing the stuff out in the jungle is doing. He's translating the Bible. But if he can't stay there by himself, if he's all alone, he's going to have to come in and out of the jungle just to get his groceries and stuff. And so if we want to keep him in there, it would be really nice to have an aircraft. And so, in fact, if you live near the ends of the earth, it really helps to have an aircraft to get there. And so that's what I did for 17 years in Papua New Guinea. I flew airplanes to take missionaries in and out of the jungle. A minute in an aircraft saves a missionary over a week, over an hour of surface travel. And an hour in an aircraft saves a missionary over a week of surface travel on average. And he can't carry in on his back for a week what I carry in an airplane for an hour. Now we're using helicopters. The price of helicopters has come way down, and the cost of fixed wings has gone way up. And so one of the most efficient ways to do the work of the ministry is to get missionaries in and out by helicopter. And then after the missionaries are long gone, we have believers who are ambassadors for Christ who want to go into other areas. Guess what? We can provide aviation services for them. You know, missionaries have school teachers. They teach their own kids. A lot of them are homeschooled. But sometimes those kids need to be taught by your professional teachers. So we have school teachers that help all these missionaries to stay on the mission field. And so we have people who buy the supplies and make sure the supplies are in the country. And so that guys like the pilots can take them out into the jungle and give them to the guys that need it to eat. And so we have guys who are medical people. Right now we're looking for a career doctor to work overseas to support all the missionaries who are doing medical work and all the other tribes that we're working with in Papua New Guinea. And we're not just in Papua New Guinea, by the way. We're in 36 different countries around the world, because wherever the gospel has not been proclaimed, that's where we want to proclaim the gospel. And so it takes the whole body of Christ with all kinds of skills to have a part in proclaiming God's glory where his glory is not known. I've got a table out back with all kinds of information on there. I'll have some memory sticks out if I remember, if you can pick up some videos and take a look at those. If not, just contact me, and I will send you that stuff by email, and we're going to have a wrap session, I think, afterwards. So thank you very much for praying for us, and pray the Lord to send forth laborers.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to Song of Solomon, chapter 1, and we'll look at a few verses here. And the context that I want to is this one, that you as a believer, you have a context, and it is your new life in Christ. You have a context of, in a word, we could say health. I kind of like that word, health. Not physically necessarily, but you are a healthy person. You are, in the New Testament, we would say, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, will give liberally and upbraideth not. So faith, you are growing in your faith from faith to faith. That's being a healthy person. Matthew 18, to forgive people and to forgive them again. Luke 17, verse 5, forgive them again and again, 70 times, 7 times for the same offense. This health isn't something that automatically it's something that grows. It's sanctification. It's the growth of the believer in his faith. One of the elements of being healthy is the motivation that you have in life, your motivation in life, that you are drawn, to use the word in Song of Solomon. It's chapter 1, verse 4. Draw me. Draw me. So you have God that makes us healthy, and he draws me. Draws me. Are you drawn to God? Yeah, how did that happen? How were we drawn to God? How could that happen? We are sinners. Romans 3:10-18 says that we do not seek him, do not know him, do not understand him. In other words, we are really kind of sick. We are sick in our lives. We are sick in our where we're going, what it is that we're doing. We're kind of lost. Not kind of, but we're lost. Like as people left to ourselves. But the Song of Solomon, which is called the Song of Songs, like the ultimate song, the great song, the song that we sing is one of love. And we say to God that loves us, draw me, and I will be drawn. If you can draw me, if you can speak to my heart, if you can draw me to yourself, if you can love me so that I will love you, that's the first and great commandment, and that's the key to our new life. It's that love that draws us. So what does that have to do with missions? A lot. Because mission is at home and abroad, but it is really spreading around health. It's spreading around health. It's spreading around words. It's spreading around motivation that touches hearts, touches children, teenagers, people, lost people. If we are healthy, we have a contagion of health. We have a ministry of health, and that's what happens with us. It doesn't mean that we don't get sick sometimes. It doesn't mean that we don't lose our motivation. We do sometimes, but our prayer is, Lord, if you draw me, if you could speak to me, draw me, love me, then things go in a good direction. Look at verse 4. Draw me, we, notice this pronoun, draw me, and then it says, we will run after you. We're not alone. We're in the body of Christ. We will run after you. He has brought me into his chambers, will be glad and rejoice in you, will remember your love more than wine. The upright love you. So where does this happen? It happens in our hearts. It happens in a process. It's a process. Salvation is a gift immediately received, imputed to be righteous. We are righteous immediately by God's grace. We are saved, and we are secure in God our Father. And he is never leaving us and never forsaking us. That security is so important in your spiritual life. that you are always constantly loved by God, and he cannot change it. You could never do anything that would improve the love. There could never be done anything that would disapprove or cancel or diminish the love. Because the verse is Malachi 3:6, God does not change. So his love, it cannot change. And his relationship with his son, so you have the father and the son with a perfect love. And as the father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love, Jesus said, John 14 and John 16. So we can't add to the love. It is there. It is the nature of God. And all of God has been given to us. All of God has been, all the Godhead is in Christ, and we are in him, and the fullness of him is in us. God is not held back, has not given us the Spirit in measure, but has given us himself. And he that spared not his own son, how could he not with him freely give us all things? So let's look at this. A couple elements. Chapter 2, verse 8. The voice of my beloved. So we have the relationship, healthy relationship, and we have this word, voice. The voice was walking in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve were there. The voice walking. That's an interesting picture. A human being walks, Christ, walking in the garden with Adam and Eve. And it was the voice that taught them, the voice that they heard. Because love is connected with voice. Because when God is loving you and drawing you, he speaks to you. Because he is the God that talks. The God that communicates to our hearts. This is how we live. This is what happened in this song of songs. There's like a short sequence here of stories of the woman being drawn and being loved. And God teaching her faith and teaching her how to live and come away from behind the veil, come away with me. And I think of this world as, and my sin nature as a veil. And it's almost like a curtain that blinds me to God. And the dear people that are out in the world that don't have the knowledge of God, you know, Jesus said in John 4:22 to the woman at the well, you worship, but you don't know what. How many billions of people are worshipers of God, but they don't know who or what he is. But the voice, that's the word of God. That's our Bible, the voice of God, the Spirit of God in the Word of God that brings health to us, the spiritual oneness with God. So the voice that says, the voice of my beloved, behold, he comes leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. In a way, he is saying that this creation is not a problem to me. I am above and beyond every mountain, every earthquake, every storm, every bit of death, every disease, every sin. I am God, and I am above and beyond it all. And he's skipping. He is victorious. He's not hindered. He's not diminished. He's not hurt. He's very healthy. And he is the one that loves you with an eternal love, an everlasting love. And that's the voice that Job 23 is an interesting chapter because he's crying out, oh, if I could meet God, he would not crush me. He would put his strength in me. But I cannot find him. I look on the right hand and he is not there. I look on the left and he is not. Underneath me, behind me, above me, I cannot find God. Oh, I wish I could find God. Find God. So that's good for us to know. Because when Jesus came, he was there for us to touch him, listen to him. John put his head on his bosom at the Last Supper. Beautiful picture. And then he writes in his gospel, he writes about the disciple that Jesus loved. And one thing, when he draws us, one thing we pick up is that he loves me. I am the disciple that Jesus loves. One thing we pick up when we are listening, like tonight, we are drawn because we want to be fed by love. We want to be encouraged in our life by grace. We want to grow in that grace. We want to learn about love because it is the best motivation. Let's look at chapter 3, verse 3. Here is the resistance. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? There's no answer. So many of the people in the world don't understand us. So many people in the world don't understand our faith or our religion. So many people in the world don't understand our Bible. Many people in the world don't understand our conversations. Many people don't understand our motivations. Many people don't understand us. So we say to these watchmen of the city, have you seen him whom my soul loves? And then there isn't any response there. Because they don't understand it. And then she said, it was a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. Maybe we pass from where the world is at. We kind of talk. They don't get it. They don't have any ministry. They don't have anything to say. They're not encouraging us. They don't understand it. But it's a little bit that we pass from them when we find him. I think that happens to us. I might not find Jesus in the crowd. I might have to pass from the crowd and find him. I might not find him at the university, but I might find him in a small Bible school. I might not find him in a big church, but I might find him in a small fellowship. It might be that I don't find him at the mall, but it might be on my way out. It might be somehow, not in the broad way, but somehow something in my heart. That's why sometimes we go for walks in the woods, or we spend a day in prayer, or we read our Bible for some hours, or it's a little bit that we pass from them, like the status quo. And we find him whom my soul loves. What a blessing, isn't it? Lastly is in chapter 5. And what I love about this book is it's like not hide and seek, but a little bit like that. It's a little bit like people don't understand us. It's a little bit like ups and downs. It's on the farm, in the vineyard. It's under the stairs. It's at night, at midnight. The stars are shining. It's in the garden. Some difficulty comes up, but then she comes back. It comes again and again, is this love. And so she says in chapter 5, verse 2, I sleep, but my heart wakes. Sometimes the Spirit can move in your heart so strongly that you're totally awake in another way, like I sleep, but I'm somehow totally awake in another way. Like regarding the things of the world, to be honest, be careful with that. The things of the world and the troubles that are in the world, don't you know we are in the end times? Don't you know that there will be fears? Don't you know that there are rumors of wars, nuclear war nowadays, rumors, talking? Don't you know that the economy can collapse? Don't you know that things can go upside down? Don't you know that you and I could get a cancer one day? Don't you know that these things happen in the world that we are living in? I am aware of those things, and in a way, I sleep regarding them. But I'm awake regarding Him. Don't you know that we are in trouble as a nation or as it globally or whatever? Yeah, I know, and I am awake about it. I know about it. But there's sometimes when I sleep, but my heart is awake because of God. Because God is in the room. Because God says, peace be unto you. Because I'm the God of all peace. Because I'm the answer for your life. Because I'm the voice that you need to hear. I'm the one that you build your house on this rock, and when the storm comes, your house stands. You don't go crazy. You got an anchor. You got some stability because God draws you by His love so that we can be healthy in a sick world. He draws us by His love so that we can talk about love to people and love them. And, you know, the devil's got all these words out there, you know, transgender, homophobic, whatever, all these things. I don't know we know all those words. They're all from, all those words are, that is one element, one aspect of reality. I'm not denying it. But in a way, what is that to the voice that is skipping on the hills? What is that in your heart? You love people. You love people that are different from you and me. We love people. We are the agents of love. As the Father has loved me, I have loved you. And go ye into all the world, and as He sent me, so I send you. You are my disciples because you love one another. That's beautiful. So the story goes, I sleep and my heart wakes. It's the voice of my beloved that knocks, saying, open to me, my sister. I wonder if you've ever had a study time where you were kind of weary and tired, and you took some couple hours, and the Lord spoke to you, and it stirred you, just like this says. He knocks. It's the voice of my beloved that knocks at the door of my heart. And I found Jesus again. I found Jesus again. You know, I said to the high school today, I said, you know, be careful of this. I just was talking to the high schoolers, the seniors, and I just said, you know, let me tell you a story. I went to a little Bible college up in Maine on 224 Main Street, South Berwick, Maine, a small Bible college, and I studied there for 3 years. And that place was sacred to me because God was knocking on the door of my heart. God was knocking on my heart and speaking to me. And that's how it was. So years later, 30 years later, some of the people that went to the very same school mock it. They mock it. They discredit it. They think it's nothing. Waste of time and all of this. And that's how they talk. And that's like a way you can look at life. And I said, you know, you can meet an old person. And I met an elderly woman on the walk yesterday with my wife, and she's, well, I think she was 90 years old. And she said, don't think about being old. You're not old. And she, and that we're just talking like this, and she's giving out little things. And she said, be positive. Be optimistic. Always think good, you know. Like, be thankful for everything. Always spread it around. Like, be good. Be positive. Be optimistic. That was basically what I said to our high school seniors. When you leave our school, have it in your heart that this was a school of excellent people, excellent teachers, people that cared about me, people that prayed for us. And never get in it. You can do it, but that poison, and it's not about us, it's about you, your hearts. Because the voice is knocking at the door for you to rediscover the one that loves you. And not tear him down, not mock him, not discredit him, as some people do regarding the Christian faith. By the way, if sometime in the future this church falls apart or something happens that's terrible, you never leave your faith. You never leave Jesus Christ. You never leave the God that loves you. You never leave God Almighty, who speaks words of life to you. And the voice of God is skipping on the hills. Come on. You never do that. That's a recipe for a disaster. You never do that, and you don't party with the people that do that either. That's ridiculous. So I got off a little bit on that, but it relates. So I'm going to finish here in a minute. We'll go to chapter 5, verse 2. I see my heart wakes, the voice of my beloved knocks, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. And she says to herself, I put off my coat. How shall I put it on? Well, you know, really? I mean, come on. How do I put my coat on? I mean, really? How shall I put? I got my pajamas on. I'm tucked in bed. I got my feet are clean. You know, I got to get on the floor. Floor is cold. Are you kidding me? I got to get up out of my bed. Yeah? I'm going to get out of my bed? How am I going to do that? How will I do that? Well, this is about motivation. What happens to her? What happens to her? She hesitates. She's got the reasoning. We all have it. You all have it. And there's no... there's no hurry here. She can process it. You can process your life. There isn't any hurry, but you do want to get it right. I might stammer, stutter, stall. I might not be, you know, right on target. I might not, you know, might not look so pretty, but I get there. Because this love is God's love, and it's this thing that you and I need more than anything in life. You know, this love will get you to be old and happy. This love will have you go through trials and troubles, but you will survive. You'll be okay. This love will heal you. This love will never fail. This love is the mind of God. This is the key to our lives, and our life is short. And it's over pretty soon for some. And who knows for others? Who knows for all of us? Who knows? But we can say that mission is really based on health. And health is really based on love. Let God love you and be strong in that love. Let God love you and speak to you and help you in your life. And he'll lead you along your way. Some people may be missionaries out abroad, far away, someday, somewhere. And the whole thing is no different from where I am today. It's about love. And this is what you and I have been given. Again, that doesn't always look so good. She's slow moving. Let's read how it goes. She said, "My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved. My hands dropped with myrrh, my fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer." It's okay. As long as I'm on the trail, you know, I'm on the trail. I'm a bloodhound. Amen. They have a thousand times the power of smell that a human being has, a bloodhound. And she's got the direction, can't see. And also bloodhounds don't see too good, but they can smell real powerful. And we can't always see God, but we can kind of somehow say, you know, that's the sound. That's the voice. That's what I'm looking for. I don't know what it means exactly, but I'm going to keep at it. I'm going to trust. I'm going to follow. And we're going to find. And we're not going to be ashamed. We're part of his people. We're part of the whole body. And we're thankful for what we got. Very thankful. Okay, so Randy, bless you and the work. And we want to be partners with you guys in prayer. And also, maybe not everybody caught it, but Bert here, Pastor Bert, you want to raise your hand just for a second? His brother has been working for them for how long? 20 years or 30 or something? 40 years. And they're great people. Grace people. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Could you pray with me, please? Maybe somebody listening, you need a touch from God in your life. Don't give up. Walk by faith. Trust him. Hear from his heart, from the word, from the Bible. Attend a Bible-believing church with a message of grace and grow in the grace and the love of God. Then love each other. Love and forgive and love others. And walk by faith. Yes, you have a job, but pray for the people at work. Yes, you have a family. Be patient, quiet, loving, forgiving, and edify. Yes, you have a church. Be sure to build up your brothers and sisters in the faith and lay down our lives for each other and see the health that happens in an assembly when there is love there. And then for our city of Baltimore, God, move in our city with broken hearts and people in trouble. Break the bondages of the devil, the chains of the devil. Break the bad habits that people have. Break them and deliver them from evil and keep us from the evil. We ask it in your name. And anyone accepting Jesus, say to Jesus, "I accept you. I believe in you. I trust in you as my Savior tonight. Come into my heart. Speak to me. Love me, forgive me. And I turn from my own ways. I turn from my sin, my life, my way, and I trust you. In Jesus' name, put it in me, Lord. Save me, in Christ's name. Amen."